Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Our interview today is sponsored by a hidden gem in Starkville, Mississippi, Alora Modern Wellness. Founded by healthcare veterans Rich and Lisa Lopez, Alora offers cutting-edge therapies like whole-body cryotherapy, infrared saunas, LED light treatments, and assisted stretching, all designed to relieve pain, reduce stress, and boost recovery. Whether you're an athlete, a busy professional, or simply seeking balance, Alora provides personalized care in a serene setting. Located at 821 C Highway 12 across from Kroger, it's your local destination for modern wellness. Discover more at aloramodernwellness.com. I was just saying before I hit record, a little odd to be doing a college baseball interview on October 21st, but that is the state of Mississippi State right now with the expectations. Mark Etheridge joins us, D1 Baseball. We've had him on the podcast a few times before. And Mark, you were in Pensacola past weekend. You got to see Mississippi State versus Florida State. We'll get into that in just a minute, but we haven't had a chance to speak since the hiring of Brian O'Connor. I felt like that was the kind of move that Mississippi State was making, a statement that they were like, we are going to be a player in college baseball. No more, you know, piddling around, basically. We have the facilities. We have the support. Now we have the coaches is kind of the statement I feel like Zach Selman made. What were your thoughts when you heard that Brian O'Connor was taking this job?
Yeah, well, first off, I mean, it's a move where you push all the chips in the middle of the table and you are all in on baseball right now if you're Mississippi State. And with the facilities, with the fan base, with the proximity to talent, with the NIL commitment, this is a program that can compete at the top of the sport. And now you have a coach with a pedigree who's proven he can do that. And he did it at Virginia, and quite frankly, Virginia is a good program, but it doesn't have near the advantages that a Mississippi State has. And so now he's in there. He has that track record. He understands what it takes to win. And now there's going to be some adjustment into SEC play. And of course, everyone's adjusting as the sport is changing. So he's coming in, and I do feel like, you know, he can take advantage of all the excitement around the program. And I can't imagine what the atmosphere is going to be like when Tennessee rolls in, LSU rolls in, buddy. I wanted to ask you about Tennessee
real quick.
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's just real quick. As you were covering this game on Saturday, the news starts to break that Tony Vitello could possibly be headed to Major League Baseball. Now, I've always been of the opinion when you start to see things that say they've zeroed in on that means it's usually almost done. But here we are some 3 days later, and it's not done. Is Tony Vitello going to take that job, or is he going to remain in Knoxville, in your opinion?
I think the longer it goes on, the less likely it is. I mean, he's had an offer, right? It's his job if he wants it. And in order to entice him to take the job, I mean, they've got to put together – you know, what does it take, right? Because he certainly has leverage. But if I'm Tony, it depends on where you want to go with your career. Did you ever think growing up and getting into coaching that you wanted to be a big league manager? Well, if so, here's your chance, man, because even if it doesn't go well, he's going to have no shortage of suitors.
When
he comes back, right? And all of these big jobs, I mean, some of these programs may create an opening just to accommodate him should he want to come back. Yeah. Because that's about as sure a thing as you can get. With look at what he's done at Tennessee. I think the question for me about him, though, is, yeah, he's certainly a high-energy guy. Mm-hmm. And that works really well in college baseball because kind of every weekend – mm-hmm. It's like a playoff game, man. I mean, it really matters. And over the long run, 162-game season, you don't have all those ups, right? It's you've got to stay more even-keeled. And I think because of that, that would be an adjustment. Not to say he can't do it. He's obviously very successful. But it would be different, right? It's just they're just different sports based on the season and how it plays out.
If Vitello takes this job and leaves college baseball, where does Brian O'Connor rank among college baseball coaches? I think Vitello is one, in my opinion.
He and Jay Johnson would be at the top.
No, right? Is O'Connor second, third, something like that?
He's in that short list, man. Yeah. I mean, I would say, you know, Kevin O'Sullivan's there, Tim Corbin's there, Dave Van Horn is there. Is that tier? And then, I mean, it's preferences at that point. But I do think that because of the advantages that we talked about that he's going to have now, mm-hmm. I mean, Mississippi State could go on a run here and be back in Omaha, be a perennial Omaha team, that and win another one. And I do think that with playing in the SEC and having all these heavyweight matchups here, it's going to be amazing for the sport because the college baseball is better when Mississippi State's on top because it's just a phenomenal environment for it's probably the best big event college baseball program. I mean, nobody does regionals better. Nobody does supers. Nobody does those monster, bring in 16, 17,000 people like the folks in Starkville do. And I think because he's going to be there, you're going to get more of those opportunities, and that's only going to help the program.
So that brings us to what was happening on the field Saturday in Pensacola at the Wahoo Stadium there. Mississippi State and Florida State. You talk about two, power programs, two programs that have a lot of history against each other. I had an interview earlier today or earlier this week with Burke Masters talking about going all the way back there. Of course, that was who State finished the season out against last year, was in the Tallahassee Regional. So these are two teams that, that should be a pretty good litmus test for both of them. What did you like about what you saw from Mississippi State?
Well, first off, to get a chance to play in a sold-out environment in Minor League Park, they had 6,000 people there. It was great weather. It was a great setting. It's definitely a pitcher's park. It's really hard to hit it out of there. I've probably seen 12, 15 games there. I may have seen one home run hit, and that was Saturday in college. I mean, it just plays so big. On the field, I think what stands out for me for Mississippi State is how deep the position group is. There are 15 to 18, depending on how you want to parse it, starter quality position players. And we were missing Ace Reese, we were missing Aiden Teal. So I feel like that's going to be the fascinating part for me because the talent's there. And with Reese, you've got a potential superstar and probably some other guys who could get in there because we weren't talking about Ace as a superstar this time last year, and he became. So I do think that this is the kind of club that if they can, that they can play matchups, they can sustain injuries, they can ride the hot hand. There's just so many different ways that this lineup can materialize. And to me, that's going to be the fascinating part for State as, and spring rolls around. What does that lineup look like? And how different is it from day to day? Because you're trying to keep all these guys engaged.
You made a tweet about this one player, Jacob Parker, who,
Yeah, man.
the reaction kind of says it all right there. You said, you don't, a guy like that doesn't come to college to sit on the bench. How big an impact can he have as a true freshman?
He looked really good. I mean, you could see what all the fuss was about. The talent, the measurables, all that kind of stuff is there. It's just how quick does he acclimate to SEC pitching? He handled Florida State pitching pretty good. Of course, you're seeing a lot of arms in the fall, but I do think that, he's a. I don't know where he plays. I mean, the outfield is so packed right now. But I do think that he's one of these guys that maybe he's not in the opening day lineup, but by April or May, I just don't know how you could keep him out if he continues to play near his potential. I mean, this guy's a superstar. I mean, he's going to be that guy.
The other freshman I think people are interested in is going to be on the mound, and that's Jack Bauer, number 24, which is hilarious. 100 plus mile per hour left-hander. This is not the kind of player that normally makes it to college. This is a guy that, you would normally just see go straight into the major leagues. That's another, I guess the question is the same. What kind of impact can he have as a true freshman?
Well, certainly the velocity's there. His first pitch was 101. I was just trying to think as I'm watching. I have seen 101 in person one time before, and I was trying to think, okay, have I seen anyone else? And then the next, like 2 pitches later, he's like 102, and he's got a 103 on, on his record book there, right? So this is a guy that velocity is there, and it's an easy. It's not like he's throwing max effort. It just looks so like he's out, just throwing 90 and he's whips in there at 100 plus. The question for him is going to be what does the secondary stuff look like? Because as hard as it is, and it is very hard, he's throwing really hard pitches. If you don't have something else that you can get over for a strike, they're going to sit on it, and people are going to hit him. So I think that's going to be the key. How quickly, and everybody knows this, this is not a secret, how quickly can he develop a breaking ball? The changeup he was throwing in at 93, by the way, 93 mile an hour changeup. I mean,
That's
what
a
does that look
fastball, man.
like?
That's not a
Yeah,
changeup.
right. For everyone else, it is, right? And I think that's going to be the key. What's his role? Certainly, I think he could come in, and give you max effort for an inning, on a weekend, as he continues his acclimation. Or you could try to start him and stretch him out and hope that by the end of the year that he's figured it out. But the concern is strikes, and the concern is secondary. But boy, is it in there.
Do you remember a reliever named Jay Howell? Played in the majors for a long time.
I do,
So I remember watching a game where Chris Berman was doing commentary. He said he's one of those guys who changes speeds by throwing harder. I feel like that's what Jack Bauer is a little bit of.
It's because I mean, because every fastball is not 102, right? I
Right.
mean, he's got some high 90s in there, but still, I mean, it's just kind of when you have that kind of arm talent and the ease of the delivery, that's the part that probably struck me more. You expect a guy who's throwing that hard to just come out and look like Craig Kimbrell and just go in max effort, and it really wasn't that. So I think that's the interesting part, because Brian, there's more in there, and he's already throwing 103 from the left side.
What other names on the staff excite you?
So Tomas Valencias, I think that I'm saying that
You
right.
got it, yeah.
So he looked really good. He's the Virginia transfer on the mound. His brother Vitas is also on the team as an outfielder. But he was the second pitcher in the first game, and Ryan McPherson was the first one, and he was good as well. That's going to give them a really good 1-2 punch. And I think those will be your Friday, Saturday guys. Sunday's kind of open. Charlie Foster is going to have a shot at that. He started the second game. It was pretty good. But there's depth there. Maybe not the number of position players from a depth standpoint, but certainly there are plenty of guys to look at. I think Tyler Pitzer is a guy that intrigues me.
A
South
great
Carolina
summer.
for 2 years. Yeah, he was just a summer All-American, right? Came in, and he could be a guy at the end of the game. I could see him being, filling that role. Another one to watch that I thought was really good was Dane Burns. I think there's a chance for him to maybe he starts as on Sunday, or maybe he's the midweek guy because State's got some pretty tough midweek opponents. That especially early in the year, that would be good, to play a Troy and a Southern Miss and get him in there and see how he handles those lineups.
So, Mississippi State baseball always going to have high expectations. They expect to win, they expect to compete, they expect to be trying to be in Omaha each and every year. What's a realistic expectation when you look at this team? Is this, I just asked the big question. Is this a team that can compete for a national championship?
I think so. I mean, certainly positionally, their depth stands out. It compares to anyone in the country, right? Now, high end, you've got an Ace Reese. You've got Noah Sullivan, who
Had a
I
great year.
feel like is going to have a big year again. I think it's going to come down to some of the new players like a James Nunley, or maybe it's Parker, maybe it's some of the
Deal.
other transfers. Yeah, Teal, exactly. To see if they can take that next step and give that line of protection. And if you do that, I feel like this is a team that can, that's going to be in the mix right at the end. And as we saw last year, regionals are kind of a crapshoot. You've got to have your A game, you got to get a good draw, you got to stay healthy, all of that good stuff. But there's no reason this team can't be in contention to throw a big party in May at home and then advance that all the way into Omaha.
I wouldn't think they are, but who is the favorite in the SEC just as we sit here in October?
Well, I mean, I would have said Tennessee up until last week. I mean, I mean, that there's a lot of depth with that team. I don't know that they have an Ace Reese, but they have just a ton of guys, and then that ballpark they're going to hit. LSU is going to be loaded again. Just another really, really talented roster. Got some more freshmen that nobody thought would come to campus, like what we've talked about with Parker and Bauer. LSU's got some of those guys too. That would be there. I really like what Auburn's got coming back. They were a team that hosted, they were national seed a year ago, returned just about all the position group, and a lot of those guys are younger. You expect them to get better. And maybe Texas would be a team. They won the SEC last year. They returned almost all of their pitching, and they added, I would say, newcomers who are more talented than the pitchers who excelled a year ago. And they've got a really good pitching coach in Max Wiener. I think that's going to be a good club. And I think offensively, they were a little light a year ago. They won with pitching, but they brought in some impact transfers like Aiden Robbins and Carson Tinney that are going to hit 3-4 for them and really elevate them.
Is it possible that Tennessee is kind of what Texas A&M was a year ago? I don't know if they're about missing the tournament, but super talented team, but that coaching change just changes the dynamic.
I mean, that's going to be a fascinating storyline, isn't it? I mean,
It'll
either
be
way,
Elander if he goes, right?
you would think so. I mean, he's been on the precipice for years of taking another job, but he can afford to be
He was on the
picky.
hot board here. I mean,
Yeah, right. And to get the, because the number, you if you are the top assistant at Tennessee, that's a really good job, man. And so you don't want to step away for just anything. So I do think he would be the choice. And boy, wouldn't that be something, because Tennessee might have the best incoming, still high school players now, incoming recruiting class that anyone has ever put together. Now, you never know who's going to come to school and who's going to go to draft and all that. But if Tony leaves, what does that happen to this, heralded recruiting class? Because the guys that are on the roster now can't leave, right? They can leave, but they've got to sit out a year. So this year's impact won't be felt, but if he does leave, the question, every all the microscope is going to be on, on Elander and what the program looks like post Tony.
I don't think there's. I've been around it my whole life. I don't know that I remember this much anticipation for Mississippi State baseball and what we're going to see when February rolls around and we get to opening day. I will certainly talk to you between now and then. Mark Etheridge, D1 Baseball, man. Appreciate your time.
Absolutely, man. Take care. Anytime.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.